Good morning and welcome to our Wednesday morning chapel. Today we'll be using a little devotional order known as the Office of Prime. You'll find it beginning on page 108 in the front part of the hymn book. Please join me there in the versicles, Gloria Patri and Confession of Sin. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault, in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen.
Thank you.
The scripture reading for our meditation today is the final portion of our Lord's temptation in the wilderness. It is found in Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. My final year of seminary, a young man who was out vicaring a year ahead of me was serving a church up way up in northern Minnesota, happened to be out in the country, and probably 10 miles from any city or town. And one night he came in to conduct Lenten services, got there about a half hour, 45 minutes early, and as he walked up to the altar, he could tell something wasn't right. And there were things that had happened to the candles. There was a knife up on the Bible, and there were some things spray-painted on the altar in the shape of a circle with a star in the middle, all signs of occultic devil-type worship. And he called the local authorities, and they came out and said that they'd had activity like this going on in the county in different barns. They would find different things like this. The devil is a very real presence in the world, even though we can't see him. His invisibility to us sometimes may make us forget about him or think to take him rather lightly. Your enemy has a step up on you and has, in a sense, already won the war if he can convince you that he doesn't exist or that you have no reason to be concerned about him. In the text in front of us, our Lord Jesus has just undergone baptism in Matthew chapter 3. And we're told immediately upon his baptism, he was taken out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And think of that, in a sense, as a picture of you as well as a Christian. As soon as you were baptized and became a child of God, as soon as the Lord worked faith in your heart to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and to put your confidence in him for paying for your sins so you could have heaven, as soon as that takes place, immediately you become the target of the devil. And from that point forward in your life on, he will be after you to try to tear this faith away from you. When you are taken from the kingdom of darkness that belongs to him and brought into the kingdom of light by faith, and you renounce the devil and all of his wicked works and ways, as soon as that takes place in your life, you now become his target. Think of the arrogance and the audacity and boldness of the devil to go after the Son of God himself, the very one who made him. He's just an angel. The very one who made him and all beings, the all-powerful, almighty God, and he has enough audacity and boldness to go after him and try to derail him from his mission. And that shows all of us that we certainly know he can try to come after us as well. He tries to approach Jesus in a variety of ways, and we can see that here in our text as well, with a variety of different temptations, but he tends to camouflage himself as someone who is a friend, someone who is going to give him something, someone who is going to do something for his benefit. That's how he is when he tempts us as well. He likes to find things that have a hook in them to make us think this is going to be for my good, and this is not dangerous, even though it may be clearly contrary to the Word of God. Years ago, I remember watching a program one night on like one of these news programs, 2020 or 60 Minutes or something, and there was a police officer trying to teach parents about protecting their children. And he picked four mothers who happened to have little four-year-olds, and he brought them to a park to play. And he had all of the mothers say to the children ahead of time, "Don't ever walk away with a stranger. Don't ever go away with a stranger." And then while they started playing, about half hour later, he walked into the midst with a little picture. They didn't know him. And he pretended to be a man that was looking for his lost puppy and wanted to see if they would help him. And instantly, all four of the children walked with him right down the block, blocks and blocks away. The parents were appalled. Think about how the devil likes to come to us and so on. When those parents asked their children about it, why did you go with him? He's a stranger. I just told you. They said, he wasn't a stranger. He was a nice man that had a picture of a dog. He likes to come to us in our spiritual lives as well and find ways to tempt us, find our moments of weakness. Jesus is here fasting for a period of 40 days and nights. And wouldn't you know, that's exactly the time the devil tries to come after him. And he'll look at you and me as well and try to figure out what are the times in our life when we are most vulnerable. Where are the places and spots in our life where maybe we have a weakness toward a particular sin? Or maybe something's happened in our life that's kind of shaken us up a little bit and caused us to be agitated. Maybe the devil likes to sneak in during those times and weaken our faith or even lead us away from Christ. And make no mistake about it, he studies us. He tries to know us. He tries to learn about us. The United States Army down in the academies that teach people how to be generals and things, they will often select one particular student who's very bright and teach him, have him just immerse himself in one of the particular possible potential enemies that could be out there in the world. And he'll spend his entire career studying that general or maybe a dictator to learn how they operate. The devil is very careful about you and about me, trying to figure out exactly the places where he can come after us. But it's comforting for us to know and remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is far greater than any fallen angel. He's the Son of God himself. And how little it takes by him and by the kingdom of God, how little it takes to defeat this enemy. Think about how God chose to have the plan of our salvation begin. It started as a little seed inside of a virgin's womb, and then this little baby that came into the world. And through that, the almighty power of God, even through something that small and seemingly insignificant to the world, God could defeat the entire forces of hell itself. Think about in your life, just a little handful of water, some words from a pastor's mouth, just hearing the forgiveness of sins proclaimed to you from pulpits, just a little bread and wine blessed with the words of Christ and his body and blood are there. All of that, these little tiny things that God can use to defeat the devil. What great power there is in the kingdom of God. And our Lord Jesus came for this specific purpose. In fact, as soon as he's baptized, we're told the Holy Spirit took him intentionally out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He targets the devil. This isn't an accident that he falls into this temptation. We're told immediately he was led away to be tempted by the devil. In the book of Hebrews, it says this about Jesus' mission. He too shared in our humanity so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. One last point. Think of all the weapons that Jesus could have used to ward off the devil and defeat him. And yet, what does he use? He uses his own word. Now, he could have called down legions of angels or built an army or think of all the things in nature he could have used. But what does he do? He goes to Scripture. He goes to the very word he himself helped to produce. And he uses just verses from that to drive the devil away. And he takes that same sword and weapon and he hands it to you as one of his believers. And he says, hold on to this. Learn how to use it. Wield it. Hold it close to your side all the way to the gates of heaven. Amen. Please rise. And please join me in the responsory and collect as you find them on page 108. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Arise, O Christ, and help us. and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit, and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life, and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.